Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thought I better perhaps first introduce myself, because I'm sure there's many people who've joined the congregation in the last 19 years since I left here as a curate. I'm the Reverend Pat Sinton, married to the Reverend Bernard Sinton. I retired from my parish in Shipley after 18 and a half years last July. Retired is probably best put in brackets, I think, really. I don't think we ever actually retire as such. And returned back to our house in Horsham. Bernard and I first worshipped here the day after we were married, 51 years ago, before setting off on our honeymoon. We were married in 1968. And bought a flat in Horsham, and we were off on our honeymoon the next morning, flying out to Ireland. So never did we ever imagine that Sunday morning, 51 years ago, that we would both be called to God from God within the congregation to the ordained ministry. But we were, and we're both still working. As you know, Bernard's the interim rector here. You don't see a lot of him because he's obviously been at Trinity for a while, but he has retired from Trinity. His last Sunday at Holy Trinity was the 24th of November, and he's at St. Leonard's this morning. So when I came to take the 8 o'clock, I said, you can turn over, if you like, and go back to sleep, so because he doesn't have to be there till 9:30. So he had a lie-in. Some of us are probably old enough to recall Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical back in the 70s, It was entitled Jesus Christ Superstar, or in its stage version, Godspell. It started with an overture which caught people's attention. Prepare the way of the Lord. And as our gospel reminds us today, that is our message for the world. It was John's message to the world then, and a timeless message which is still very true today. Now, that musical came under all sorts of criticism at the time. How dare these young men turn a sacred text into a rock musical? I can recall that it had an effect on me because it made me start and think, really, what was John the Baptist actually like? What sort of person was he? We read that he led a very simple life out in the wilderness. He lived on what was around him, the berries and wild honey and locusts. Dressed very simply. But from my early childhood Sunday school teaching, it left me with a picture of a very fierce, rather fire and brimstone sort of preacher. The message was repent, really, or else. A man who really gained a following through threat and fear rather than from persuasion. I once heard a sermon from a chapel preacher from Wales whose words were likely to put the fear of God into anyone. Things have rather changed now, I think. But many years ago, the Advent theme always was the four last things. It was death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And I remember as a new curate, Canon Tansel sent me off to one of the daughter churches to preach on hell, which was quite a challenge at the time. But we don't always use those four last things now. We tend to have rather different readings, which perhaps is a good thing. Perceptions do change, and when the musical was composed, it was a time when people were questioning the inherited sort of normal social mores of the time. It made people stop and think. John the Baptist was someone who didn't fit into society, nor did he want to, because he was impatient with the world's inability to see the foolishness and evil in society. He was scorned by the authorities because of his blunt way he represented his message, often the unpalatable hypocrisy of those in high places. And what would John bring to our attention today? Well, I don't think he would be short of targets. It is deemed to be all right to talk about the world's problems by public debate as an excuse for inaction, but claim that this is the right way to conduct international affairs, whilst innocent people die, or it would seem so, perhaps, particularly in Syria. As we come this week to probably the most significant election in our lifetime, we as Christians have a duty to prepare the way of the Lord for his will to be accomplished in our nation. But when the election was announced, there were quite a lot of negative views expressed. They said it'll be dark, it'll be cold, it might snow. Well, I don't think there's any snow in the forecast for the next few days, so we're right on that one. It'll be dark. Well, we can vote, cast our vote between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. in the evening, so we shouldn't, that's not an excuse really. And if you have to go out in the dark, and some of us probably survived the blackout during the war, so we're quite used to having a torch, we can get ourselves around. And I'm pretty sure the street lights will be on in Horsham. Maybe not in the surrounding district, certainly not in Shipley where I came from, because we don't have any. But if you've got a good torch, that's fine. It might be cold. Well, it might be. I don't know on Thursday. It could be. But then perhaps this is a time to get out that thermal vest that some well-meaning aunt gave you one Christmas, that you actually thanked profusely and then stuffed it in the back of the wardrobe. So if it really is cold, then we have to dress appropriately. But actually, there is no excuse. Whatever our political preference, we need to prepare to vote carefully and prayerfully so that our nation can move forward. It is our Christian responsibility to cast our vote. I've heard many people say, well, whoever I vote for, it really won't make any difference. But if we all said that, then nothing would happen. So we must cast our vote. John would have no problem with the inconsistencies of gaining appeal today by targeting the inconsistencies of human behaviour, a problem which has not gone away, a problem which is still with us. And that focus was part of John's message. John was doing such things to make people stop and think and to change their hearts, where lying and the lack of responsibility were evident. People today don't seem to want to accept responsibility for the way they live. And we see that in public persona. And John used Herod as a prime example. But they can be present in everyone with disastrous consequences. So John's message to the crowd was stop and think. You get it wrong, so seek God's forgiveness and help. Repent. We have a picture perhaps in our minds that means saying sorry. But the Greek word used in the New Testament means a change of heart through repentance. And it is through a change of heart that lives can be changed. For this is where change really occurs, not in the events on the world stage, but in the basic elements of society, in us. That was what John was asking people to do, to ask ourselves, do I practice what I preach? For example, the person who claims not to have time to sort out their rubbish so it can be recycled, but is always very, very vocal about green issues and the environment. In all John's preaching, there was one basic demand: repent. There was also the basic demand of Jesus himself, for Jesus came saying, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance brings healing to ourselves and to the world. Repentance lasts as long as life. So long as life remains, there is a possibility of repentance and forgiveness. For that's why Christ died for us on the cross. We're reminded of the parable of the prodigal son, and the father waiting out for his son's return. God waits for us to come to him in repentance. We're not asked to do this alone, in our own strength, but we have been given the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of the wrong in our lives and gives us strength to repent and to turn our lives around. When Jesus reminded us that we need childlike qualities to enter the kingdom, perhaps he was reminding us of such things. For children are very good at seeing beyond what we perceive. So any parent who has children will know. They will correct us without mercy. Like the time I was with a church nursery group where the teacher was teaching them some nursery rhymes. We came to the Humpty Dumpty and ended as usual with, "And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again." At which point a little boy put up his hand and said, "Vicar Pat, that's not right, you know." And he continued with bright-eyed confidence, "Jesus would have mended Humpty Dumpty." As today we are asked to prepare the way of the Lord in our town, in our country, and in our world, people will ask, "Who are you? What have you to say to us?" We must be able to give a confident answer, expressing our faith in Christ, the Saviour of the world. Maybe as we approach Christmas, are reminded by the Christ child in the crib of the childlike qualities, we may seek to repent, not just to regret what is wrong in our lives, but a change of heart, where we seek God's help to become the people he wants us to be, and to see the world through Christ's eyes. And in doing so, we can prepare the way for him to reign in our hearts, and particularly in our nation. Amen.